Because we're getting ready to get into the book of the Bible. Look in the book of the Bible, a chapter. We're looking for Acts. So you're looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at chapter 9. If you're ready, say, who dat? Who dat? I'm just joking. You can say whatever you want. You can. If you cheer for the Pelicans, I have great hope this year for the team. And so don't let me down, right? Acts chapter 19. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many people, I don't know about you guys, but as I have cleaned my house, last week we declared together, as for me and my house, we will. Oh, I didn't hear you. As for me and my house, we will. You know, that's a declaration that we make over our houses, over our family. We have made it. We even declaring that on this side of town. Can I get an amen? We are declaring that where there have been broken things and hurtful things that we are going to declare together that we are going to serve the Lord and even more as we see the day approach. And so I have been on a house cleaning spree. Anybody likes cleaning? Anybody? How many people hate cleaning? Let me get a Thank you. I hate cleaning. Cleaning is like not my thing. If you want to cook, I can cook. I love cooking. It's like very therapeutic for me. Cleaning, not so much. I sort of despise it, to be honest, but I like a clean house. How many people like a clean house? To be clean is to be godly. Wasn't that an old saying back in the day? And so we were working on this series together. And if you notice this morning, our house, which you can take a picture at if you want to, but I'm going to tell you today, it is dirty. And it's sort of stressful. You ever walked into a dirty house and things are everywhere? And I have been on a rampage. One time we bought a house on Mary Hughes Drive on the east side of Houma. And we bought this house and it was a fixer-upper. You know what a fixer-upper is? Okay, this is a fixer more than an upper. And so we bought the place and we were excited. And the lady that we bought the house from, no lie, y'all, she left everything there. So it was like a new house to us, but it was a house that needed a little bit of cleaning. So we are like pulling stuff out the cabin. I mean, like cabinets are like 5-6 years old. There's like roof from somebody, you know, and I'm picking out things in the backyard where pebbles and stones, and there was this nasty fish pond. I'm sorry if you like fish. And so they were like fish pond with bacteria and mold all up in it. And so we were looking at it and we were like, we just started to clean house. Like from the top to the bottom, and we started to make that house our home. Then we decided, we have four children, so we said, let's get them into a school that loves band. So my kids go to Central Lafourche, and they're in the band there. So we moved to Bayou Blue, and we bought a house. This one was a new build, and so it was clean. It was so nice. I'm telling y'all, when we walked in, I was like, this is fabulous. But you know, houses, after we moved in right before COVID, about 2 months before COVID, so we got a house for cheap, because now houses are expensive. I don't know how people afford them. But we got a house for pretty inexpensive, and we were putting that money into the house, and so we walked in brand new. We stayed in that house for COVID, right, because we all locked ourselves up in the COVID houses, and so 2-3 months we're in there, and our house gets a little bit dirty. I'm talking, I have four kids and we've lived there for 5 years now, 5 years in the house. My house has some problems. You know what I'm saying? Like, things get dirty over time and there's cobwebs. And so about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm looking at my house and we're preaching a series. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm declaring that over my house. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to clean my house. My kids are not excited. I don't care. So I start going through all the stuff, like the drawers and all that. You know what I'm talking about? And you've got filth in the drawers. This is probably just me. Y'all probably live in clean houses. And so I'm pulling stuff out of the drawers. We throw away, I no lie, 2 weeks ago, I threw away a big old thing of just junk that we had accumulated in the garbage can. Ted's like, what are y'all doing? The next week, same thing. This weekend, I made my kids clean out their rooms. Y'all, our trash can is full and overflowing because we are cleaning out our house. Now, this morning, we can do that physically if you're inspired. After, you know, I don't even know if the Saints are playing today at this point. Do we care? But you can clean your physical house. But this morning, I want to talk about our spiritual houses that over time have probably been allowed to get a little bit dirty. Look at Acts chapter 19. We're looking at verse 8 this morning. Acts chapter 19, we're looking at verse 8. And Paul, and Luke is writing this account to Theophilus. He actually writes the book of Luke. And it really doesn't end. It's just an accumulation. So we see Jesus going back into heaven. He ascends back to the throne. And then we see the start of the church. And we've seen incredible things. We've seen Paul be converted. We've seen Stephen being stoned. We've seen the Holy Spirit fall on Peter and he preaches to 3,000 people and they're saved. And God is adding daily to the number of those that are giving their life to Jesus. I think the Lord's doing that right now, clearly, by what we're seeing in America. We see people coming to know Jesus, and not just in America, throughout the world. We are seeing a hunger and a thirst for the things of God again. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 8, it says this, and he, now this is Paul that Luke is writing about, it says, and he entered the synagogue, like a church, and for 3 months, Paul spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some came, became stubborn and continued in unbelief, you ever talk to somebody like, yeah, never? It says, speaking evil of the way, that was the people that followed Jesus, before the congregation, he withdrew from them, and he took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. In verse 10, it says this continued for 2 years. Somebody say 2 years. So 2 years, they're declaring the work of the Lord, the worth of the Lord. They're declaring of Jesus, who was crucified and buried and resurrected and ascended back up into heaven. In verse 10, it says, this continued for 2 years so that all, somebody say all. Now listen to what God is doing. He takes the words of Paul and he takes the words of the disciples, and it continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Both Jews, that's who he came, and then Greeks, that's us, that's all of us that are sitting in the room, the people that are on the outside. And look at verse 11, and God was doing. Everybody say, and God was doing. Listen to what he was doing in verse 11. It says, and God, whenever something happens, that a movement that you can't explain, when things start to happen and there's a miracle, you don't have to think that it was Paul. You don't have to think that it was Peter. It's not us. It was God. In verse 11, it says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So if you want God to do extraordinary miracles, give him your hands. Start asking the Lord, use me, Lord, in a way that only you can see fit. So in verse 11, God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched Paul's skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. What a time to be alive. Even a handkerchief or an apron touched by Paul would be sent out, and the evil spirits that were in that person would come out because of the anointing and the power of what God was doing. Look at verse 13. It says this, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, so these are people that are in charge of casting out demons out of people. Notice they're Jewish. Notice they're itinerant, like they're sort of working through this. It says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, here's what they said, I adjure you by the name of Jesus. Someone say Jesus. The name of Jesus, whom Paul proclaimed. So they thought, I will take out these demons as well, and I will say the name of Jesus, which is a powerful name, and then they used the name of Paul, because they probably didn't know Christ for themselves. In verse 14, it says this, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva was doing this. But the evil spirit answered them. So is evil spirits true? Yes, they are. Are demonic spirits true? Yes, they are. Do they have a voice? Yes, they do. But it's a limited voice. It's a crushed voice. But at the same time, notice in verse 15, it says, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I what? Recognize. So the evil spirit understands. understood who Jesus was. We see this all the time in the Gospels. Jesus would come to somebody, and the evil spirit would leave, and they knew who Jesus was. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. So the evil spirit in verse 15 says, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man who was in them was then the evil spirit leaped on them, and it mastered them all. And all of them were overpowered, so that they fled out the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. So here's the story going around the town. There was this guy, there was a demon, it was inside, and they said Paul, they said Jesus, but nothing worked, and it overtook them. And listen to what happens in the middle of verse 17. It says this, and fear. Now, a better word to describe fear, when I think of fear, I get scared. But a fear is more of like an awe. For example, if you go to the Grand Canyon, you don't stand in fear, do you? You stand in what? Awe. Look at God. Look at His majesty. Look at His wonder. Look at His grandeur. If you go to Niagara Falls, you don't stand in fear. What do you stand in? You stand in awe. Look at the God that I serve. Look at His majesty. Look at His grandeur. So there was an awe that fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled, which is a big fancy church word for Jesus was lifted up high. Now, here's where we want to lay our heads this morning. In verse 18, it says this, also, everybody say also, many of those who were now believers came, and they were confessing and divulging their practices. For example, they were cleaning their house. So the people that were coming, and many of those who were believers, everybody say believer, you don't come to Jesus cleaned up. You don't come Jesus, all of a sudden you know what's going on. You come as you are, full of junk, full of mess, full of things, full of problems. But these people were believers. What does it mean to be a believer? In John 1:12, the ladies learned this week. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become what? Children of God. When you come to know Jesus, when you talk about the name of Jesus, all you have to do is believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And Romans says it like this, you will be what? Saved. So I come to Jesus as I am. I have things going on in my life, and I come to him empty. I come to him with no concerns. I come to him as I am, full of junk and full of sin. And the Lord says to all who believe him, who did receive him, who believe in his name, you get the right to become children of God. At the end of the service, we'll give you an opportunity to believe and confess in Jesus, and you too can become a child of God. Not because of us, not because of you, but because of who Jesus is. But go back to verse 18 in the book of Acts in chapter 19. It says, many who were believers came confessing and divulging their practices. So they knew that they were a believer because they trusted Christ. They knew that they were a child of God, but they also knew that they had some things in their house that needed to be cleaned out. They do. They looked at the trash that was in their house, and they looked at the things that were dirty. And now as a believer, you start to notice things about yourself, right? If you were a thief in the house, what do? You start getting rid of thieving. If you are a gossiper in your house, you go into the house and you take out the gossip in your life and you start handing that over to the cross of Jesus Christ because that doesn't belong in your spiritual house. If you're filled with anger in a way that causes you to sin, I'll just take lemonade. And what I do is I don't know why, I just picked that one. And so I take that out of my spiritual and physical house, but I take anger that causes me to sin out of my house because that doesn't look like Jesus. And these believers began to take things out of their house. In today's American culture, we're like, oh, just do whatever you want. God doesn't say that. He says, come as you are, but then start in a process of cleaning or sanctifying your house. If you're an adulterer, stop and get into a relationship with
a marriage. If you acted out uncontrollable anger, now you are controlled by Christ. If you watch, let me pick a little bit more, and listen to things that don't honor God, remove them. If you walked in unforgiveness, you need to start practicing and take that out of your life and start practicing the art of forgiving. In this story, the people here practice magic art. Look at verse 19. It says this, "And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all." Let me just read that again in verse 19. So we might deal with anger. You might even deal with magic arts. You might deal with unforgiveness. You might be in adultery. You might have uncontrollable anger. You might watch and listen to things. So as they were cleaning out their houses and they were confessing things and they were divulging things and they were getting things out, this particular group of people practiced magic arts. So verse 19 says, "And they brought their books together and they burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found out that it came to 50,000 pieces of silver." So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. This morning I have three things that I notice about these scriptures. Number one, if you're writing notes this morning, cleaning was in public. Look at it. At verse 19, it says, "And the number of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together, and they burned them in the sight of all." Somebody say all. The act of burning books in public, magic art books, things that you would have probably kept hidden, especially in front of church people. You don't want them to know that you used to do that. So it'd be simple to like sort of get rid of that on the side, but they took those books out of their houses and out of their crannies and out of the little areas of their house, and they began to look at that and they said, "Because I follow Christ, because I'm a believer, I'm going to clean my house out and I'm going to do it in front of all." This was a safe space. Notice nobody in the crowd was like, "Oh my goodness, they practice magic arts. Let's excommunicate them." It was a safe space where they took out the trash and the garbage of their lives and they did it in front of all. Somebody say all. This morning when we get baptized, what do we do that in front? We do it in front of all. Why? Because there is a confession that happens. It's a safe place. This is the house of the Lord. This is where we're getting things right. This is where we're cleaning out our house. And so we offer that and say, "Lord, take it all out." Salvation is public. Baptism, public. Christ died publicly. So we live for Christ publicly. In front of everyone, we do the cleaning. We go into the house and we find the things that don't look like Christ. I'm sure those red Solo cups are no good. And you start looking at that. And here's what the people who practiced magic arts did. They took it out in front of all. There's an accountability. I used to be that, but now I'm not. I used to talk like that, but now I don't. They knew who you were. These were people who practiced magic arts. But now they did it in front of all. Number two, cleaning was a costly sacrifice. Cleaning out your house this morning is going to cost you. The Bible says that I'm to pick up my cross and follow Jesus. That cost me something. Notice what they did not do. The magic art people, they didn't sell the books at the local bookstore. They could have. Let me just give you some terms. Estimating that those books, in modern terms, because that was like 50,000 pieces of silver. However, in different parts of the Roman Empire, usually silver, one piece of silver was like a drachma. That was like a day's wage for a laborer. So if we just use that, those 50,000 coins would represent about 137 years of labor for one person. That was costly. Some translations of the Bible offer a modern estimate. Example, the New Living Translation and the Passion Translation. They estimated that those books cost several million dollars. M with a million. Some scholars say that the value was even higher. And one estimate says it was probably around $13 million in that time. And it cost them to put those books into the fire. It will cost you to get rid of things that you used to hold on to. It will cost you to get out of a relationship that you have no business being in because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It will cost you to lay down that anger. It will cost you to not be in that conversation at the workplace and you'll have to walk out of the shop so that your ears don't hear what everybody else is. It will cost you to quit looking and binge watching Netflix. Why? Because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It will cost you something. Look at what it cost Paul and Peter and all these guys in that book of Acts that we love to talk about. But then as we see them hand over their lives so that Jesus would be made famous and that the word of the Lord would go out to all people, cleaning is costly. So number one, cleaning is in public. Cleaning is costly. But can I read again in verse 19? It says, a number of those who practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they continued the value of them. They counted the value and they found it came to 50 pieces of silver. Here's the third reason. I often think this is the most important. Cleaning requires you to keep on cleaning and take the trash out. It is easy to remove this lemonade from the physical house. It was easy for me to take all of this trash and put it right here on the stage. Notice what they did. They burnt it publicly. It was costly, so they're losing money. They're losing their life in order that they can gain the life of Christ. But I think they did it so they would not go back. It is tempting. Whenever I have a house and I'm cleaning through my house and things get really, really clean for a time, it is tempting to say, well, my house is clean. But you notice something about houses is that they always have a spider come in, right? Or a little roach. I know y'all don't have roaches in our house, and I'm not going to say that we do or don't. But I know all these little things come back into our house, and we sort of don't take the time to notice until we're infested. And we don't take the time to, oh my goodness, now we have all of these roaches. Oh my goodness, we have all of these spiders and all of these things that we took out of the house when the Lord said, yes, take it out. What we tend to do is take that, and we sort of really like lemonade in my example. And what we do is we gradually put that back into the house that the Lord has already cleaned out. Now, with the people who practice magic arts, they could not do that. Why? Because they burned it. They burned it. It was significant enough. They knew who they were in Christ, but they know that the enemy also comes back to tempt us. Can I get an amen? I am like you in this. And so what happens is we tend to think, I'm cleaning that out. I'm cleaning it out. I'm getting rid of it. But if we don't get rid of it completely, there is a temptation to go back to the thing that the Lord freed you from. There was a young lady, I remember praying for her, I think, or my husband. And she came to know Jesus, and he prayed that she would quit smoking. And she did. Power of God. Sometimes this happens instantaneously. Sometimes this is a process for us. I'm a process kind of person. Ted is an instantaneously kind of person. And so I'm sitting there and look at the Lord has done. But it was tempting to go back to the very thing that the Lord freed you from. In our story this morning, can you imagine a couple of years pass with these people that created that got rid of the magic art books? And the hype is done. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't feel the Lord like you used to. And then their little kid, maybe Susie, I don't know if that's a Bible name, but I'm going to pretend. And so Susie has a cold with these people that practice magic art, and they've been praying, and God doesn't seem to be answering. And they don't have those handkerchiefs from Paul anymore. You know the ones I'm talking about that healed everybody? They're looking for an apron from Paul, and there's none. So the temptation for those individuals would be to go back to the book of magic art. It's normal. They don't feel the Lord like they used to. And they knew that those books had a limited power. And they worked at times. And if I would just dabble in a spell or two, or I wonder what my horoscope says, or I wonder what the stars are predicting, or maybe I could just go to a psychic. But they couldn't because they burned them. Imagine another example. There are tough times and for these people, and they see God moving. And it's like the ungodly, and God's moving, and the ungodly are getting away with it, and the unjust. Remember, this is a very pagan culture. And they're not prospering because they burn all their books that cost millions of dollars. And there are a lot of valleys in their lives, and there's less money. And they might start thinking to themselves, did God really say to get rid of those magic arts? That's the temptation. What if it's just a little dirty? That was probably too radical anyhow. What if people call me a holy roller? Or get this, everybody in my family still practices magic arts. Why can't I? But they couldn't because they burned them. I wish this morning that you and I are sin, the things that the Lord has been convicting you of, I wish we could burn them. Wouldn't it be easy? I deal with lust, let's burn it. I deal with looking at this, let's burn it. The temptation of our life, however, is that those things are so easily accessible. For us this morning, there's been a conviction in your heart about the things you listen to, or maybe the things you watch. Maybe you even have magic arts in your life, or an addiction. And the temptation this morning is to go back to those things, or anger, or gossip, or bitterness, or unforgiveness. Maybe you used to steal little things from your workplace. And as you have gone in your faith, does the Lord really care if that steal that little thing? And when you first came to the Lord, you were taking it all out. But gradually over time, something has gotten back in and your house is dirty. And you make excuses. But there is a back door in your life and you left it open intentionally. You know what I'm talking about? That site is still available. You found a way to go back to an addiction. No one else might even know about it. And the trash in your house is piling back up. And you don't even notice because you're used to it. That's a normal looking house for you. We like it. It's comfortable. It's always what I used to do. We can play some music. When I was preparing the sermon, the Lord said, I want you to share something that was in your life that you let back in this week. And I said, Lord, seriously. To confess and divulge, I've already told my family and my accountability. But I'm going to confess publicly because I believe there's people in the room that are struggling with letting things back in your life. And you're letting trash back in. When I was first saved, I gave my life to the Lord when I was in ninth grade. Seriously, I love Jesus. I began to sanctify. I began to take things out of my house. In my senior year in high school, I was really loving Jesus, bringing people to the Lord. I loved the Lord. I wanted him to be famous. It was the cry of my heart. And someone, I had let in bad words, angry words, cursing, swear, whatever you say. And there was an individual that came up to my life and they said, Tara, I thought you were a Christian. Why are you cursing? And y'all, I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit that I said, Lord, help me. And I began to get that cursing and that swearing in my life. And I, honest to God, a senior in high school, and I took that trash out. Like, I was like, I don't want it because I want people to know Jesus. So I removed it. I thought I had burned it. And it was out of my house. And I go to college, the Nichols State University, and I'm with band people who are like crazy. And I remained a believer. I lived for the Lord. My mouth was pure in my 20s, in my 30s. And I thought, like, that was good, Lord. I'm really clean. Like, if you would have accused me of cursing, I'd been like, you're right, I don't curse. Like, I've never cursed. It's been years, decades. And we adopted 4 kids. Not excusing it. Sin. And there was like a honeymoon stage for like 6 months, and we were good. And then it was like, whew, their trauma, my trauma. We all had trauma. And I lost it. the very thing that God had cleaned out of my life as a youth came rip-roaring back in my 40s. In my 40s, I lived my 20s, my 30s for the Lord, and here's what I did. I excused it. Because God, four kids. And we all struggled, and just whenever I had enough, and they went, I was like, God, that's the only way they listened to me. And Ted would look at me with his eyes, because he would just be like, because Ted doesn't curse. And so, if I'm being honest, I knew it was destroying my house, my personal house, my family house. It was destroying me spiritually. It was destroying me physically and emotionally. And my kids never let me live it down. That's how kids are. And over time, I knew that my kids would pick up my example. And the Lord began to convict me. And as I drew close to the Lord, he says, you need to get that out of your house. And the Lord reminded me that he had freed me from those words. He had freed me from that sin in my life. I'm not pointing at anybody else. I'm pointing at myself and saying, I had allowed that back into my life. And so I confessed it. I confessed it to Ted. I confessed it to my accountability. Here's the kicker. I confessed it to my kids. They know mom's a sinner. I'll let you know that I know, that we all know. And you know what the Lord did in verse 20? When you take the junk and the sin and the trash out of your life, and you do that publicly with accountability, and you say, okay, Lord, I know it's going to cost me something, but then you clean and you keep on cleaning. Here's what in verse 20 it says, because of that, the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. That's my heart. That's my heart this morning. Is that when you walk out of the door this morning, that you would have taken out the trash in such a way that your family would notice, that your kids would notice, that your workplace would notice, and the word of the Lord would prevail mightily. Y'all, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling this morning with some kind of trash, and I believe we've been praying for this message that the Holy Spirit has already convicted you, and he said, it's time to take the trash out. It's time to clean out your house. It's that thing, and he's been so specific to you this morning. Would we make this place an altar? And like those that practice magic arts in the book of Acts chapter 19 say, I'm going to confess and divulge because there's freedom. There's freedom in Christ. One of my kids, she said the same. She's been doing some things. She said, Lord, she just sort of confessed and divulged that. And this morning she told me, she said, hey, Mama, it's like a weight is off my shoulder. That's what the Lord wants to do this morning. Just take that weight, that heaviness. And he wants to forgive you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? With every head bowed, eye closed, please don't look around the room. But this morning first, I have two questions. Are you a child of God? The Bible says, come as you are, all messed up. And believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. To all who believe, to all who call his name, you will be a child of God. That's a free gift to you this morning. Not from me, from him. From Jesus. And if you've never become a child of God, we're going to pray together really quickly. The Bible says when we do that, the angels in heaven rejoice. There's a party. And he, the Lord, writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So we don't have to fear death, hell, and the grave because we know that our name is written forever with him. If that's you this morning and you want to know Christ and be a believer in Christ Jesus, with every head bowed and eye closed, will you just lift your hand and pray with me? I'm going to pray. We're going to pray out loud. That way the demons can hear and anything else, and there's an accountability. But we're going to pray. If you need to become a believer in Jesus, can you say with me, dear Lord, thank you this morning for the cross of Jesus Christ, that you paid the price for my life. And today I confess I'm a sinner and I need you, the perfect Son of God, to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Today I believe in you And I'm asking to be your kid. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says if you did that this morning, you're his and you're his kid. Grow in the Lord. Come next week, we're going to talk about filling up the house again. But I want to talk to the individuals in the room that are believers. You know Christ. You've walked with him and you are walking with him. I would ask this morning if there is a thing in your life that the Lord is saying, take that out. You know. I don't say this judgingly. I say this together with you, that we come to the cross and we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you might have to do that with accountability. You might need to text somebody. We're here. But if it's somebody in your life and say, hey, will you hold me accountable to that? My husband holds me accountable to my language. It's been a couple of years, and I've been just walking with the Lord. There's some accountability that you need to get it. If there are some things in your house that you need to be like the people who practice magic arts and burn it, take it out, get rid of the code, don't have an open door, don't have a website that gets you into another website that has another website, confess it. And you can confess that now to Jesus, but I'm just saying, there is a tendency in our lives that we'll go back to the thing if we're not honest, if we're not saying with all of us, okay, Lord, I'm done. I'm tired. I don't want it. And then clean it. Clean it out. And keep on cleaning your house so that the word of the Lord would continue to increase and prevail mightily. If that's you this morning, would you just sort of open up your hand to whatever that thing is? Just write you and the Lord. So that's it. That's me. Just every head bowed, eye closed. It's just business with the Lord. But if that's a thing in your house and you need to clean it, can we say this together? Dear Jesus, today I'm bringing you my trash. Come on, name it specifically. Just a second, you and the Lord, just whatever that thing is. And then let's pray this. Lord, today I bring it to you. And I ask that you would remove it out of my life. I'm doing it publicly. Help me to do that with accountability. I know it's going to be costly, but it's going to be worth it. So Lord, I ask you to take it out, not just today, but for the rest of my life. And help me, Lord, to continue to clean out my house daily. And Lord, we ask that the word of the Lord would continue in my house, in the life of my family, in the life of this church, and in our town, and that you would prevail mightily as we clean out our houses. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can I just pray over you before you leave? Walk out of the doors. Tell someone, hold yourself accountable. If it's an addiction, we can help. We can bring you to some places. We support two locally right here in this town. Get serious. I'm letting you know from someone that's removed from what I just confessed 3 years, 4 years, it's better on this side. Confessing those things and getting rid of those things. The Lord can use you, and he'll use you as an influence in all the areas of your life. Lord, I pray, God, over these people, myself included. God, we thank you that you are good to us. God, that you give us more than we deserve. And I pray, like in the book of Acts, Lord, that we would be a people that confess. Because we know that when we confess, Lord, there is healing that is brought to our lives. God, I pray that this would not just be an emotional moment and we would sort of pick something out and clean it out, but then tonight go back to it or tomorrow morning. Lord, help us to be serious about the kingdom of God, knowing that you are coming back, Lord.
knowing that people are watching us, God, they're watching our witness. God, they're watching not just what we say, but they are watching what we do. So God, help us to move with tenacity like these in the Bible and say, I'm getting rid of anything that doesn't glorify Jesus. I'm cutting it off. God, help us to be those kind of people this morning. God, help us to move. And we pray that you would move into our homes. God, next week as we fill our house, Lord God, help us to fill our house with the things of God. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And the people of God said, amen, amen. Would you give the Lord some praise? You are free. You are free in the name of Jesus. Go out there with no condemnation. We're going to be here if you need to tell someone or to speak to someone. We love you guys. I know Pastor Ted will be at that.